Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Hey, hello everyone. Good morning. It's June 5th. This is another edition of Talkline from 10 to 11:30. And I'm Diane McGachran. You're whoever you are. And we are ready to start our show. And we have John Nick here. Good morning, John.
Morning, Dan. How are you doing there?
Good.
Morning,
good.
Peter, wherever you're at.
Peter's probably listening.
Anyway, you know, I want to talk about the people that are working on the highway. They're doing a really good job, and the flaggers are too. And they're improving the city, you know. And next thing, they'll probably, I don't really know their plans, but they probably want to pave some of the roads there. And, you know, you got to have patience when you're with these people when they're working on the highway. They're doing it for the safety of the people, also for the road construction, so that we can have good roads to travel on rather than being bumpy all the time. You know, you've got to say thank you to them and wave at them, say hi, acknowledge their work. Make you feel better, because I know how it felt. I worked as a flag person, too. In fact, I worked on all the highways here and the bridge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did every job you can see here.
Huh.
And I know how it feels, and I want to tell them, you know, you're appreciated, and thank you for doing a good job. They're doing the best they can, you know. So like I was saying, you have to be patient when they're going to start paving and stuff. If they do that, rather than get frustrated, you know what I mean? Do your things early, so be prepared for some of that nature. And other than that, I'd like to wish everyone a really happy, good weekend. And the fish must be running by now, huh?
That's what I hear.
Hopefully all fish camps are doing good. Another thing I'd like to tell everyone that... during the fishing season, there were instances last year, people robbing dry fish off their people's racks. Please don't do that this time, because a lot of people work hard for their subsistence feed, and you walk right over there and just take off all that food out of there. You're taking all the hard work and the food for the people that work for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have fish, you go work for it. Don't go steal. And if you get caught, turn them people in right away. Because, you know, that's not right. We weren't brought up that way. And right. I want to wish everyone a good, safe weekend. Please wear your life jacket. And when your children are on there, make sure that life jacket fits properly. And have rain gear or whatever if you're going on long-distance travel. That'll cut down the hypothermia and the coldness of the weather. You know, that much more. Be safe. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And don't drink and drive, and hope you all have a good weekend. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. Thank you, John. I'm glad you called.
Have a good day, too. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Okay, everyone. I'm going to give out the numbers, and as you know, you can also email the station at radio@kyuk.org. I'll read your email over the air. And the numbers to call are 543-5985, 543-2756, and 1-800-995-8954. And we have someone from Bethel, Billy. Good morning, Billy. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
Life? Pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good, too.
That's good. Life is pretty simple, long as you know how to work hard and smile. All right. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye. All right. So I'm glad that he gave me a very nice message. So there's a lot going on in the world, in the nation, in the region. So if you would like to call in and give your ideas about how you connect to some of what's going on in the world, that's great. If you want to tell us some local information, really enjoy hearing that too. And I read the other day a KYUK article about the connection between the wind, mosquitoes, and the arrival of king salmon. So if anyone would like to talk more about that, about ways, environmental ways that you can tell when the fish are coming or how the run is going to be, that is really interesting information, real good local indigenous knowledge that's probably been passed down for many generations. And I think it's important to hear about that. So if you would like to call in and just share a little bit about what you were taught growing up about some of those signs, that'd be great. And, oh, this is delightful. We have Barbara. Oh, Barbara without Peter this time. It's just Barbara calling in. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are things going?
Pretty good. We're in therapy, but we're looking to go forward,
mm-hmm.
getting working on memory return.
Yeah.
It was his decision to go to therapy because he wanted to move on to get his memory back.
Mm-hmm.
Since this fishing, everybody going out, he's been seeing boats passing by the house, and he said he wanted to move on to get his memory back. What more could we do? So when we came to an appointment for his blood pressure check, which was good,
mm-hmm.
He got told that he could go to therapy. And right there, he just looked toward me really fast, and his face brightened up.
Oh, good.
So that's where we're at now. He's doing the occupational therapy right now, and then he'll do mm-hmm. the physical in a week and a half. But occupational will be every Wednesday and Friday. And I wanted to tell him happy birthday. I already did. but
Oh, so did he have to become medically stable in some way in order to get the green light for more therapy? Physical, occupational therapy? Yeah.
Just what I told him, what he wanted to do mm-hmm. at his appointment. And
okay.
just when they step in, that'll be a good move for him to... They said it'll take at least 6 to 9 months for his memory to come back. It's back off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And surprises me when he says, oh, that's a, and he'll tell me right away what it is. And it'll be gone in a minute. But they said the work he's doing will keep his memory back, so. And I tell him it's all in God's time that he'll have it back, not our time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's hearing that more, his memory will be back in time.
Yeah.
And he gets, his weight on his back is lightened every time he hears that his memory will be back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I miss him even, he's finally, and anybody that goes through what I did is understanding. They're not, he's there, but he's not really there.
Yes.
And I told him, I miss you.
I hear that in your voice, Barbara. And much, much compassion and love to you and him, and I hear you. That, and I have heard about that, and it's very painful.
Yeah. We'll make it through, though, with God's help.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give an update on what he's doing now, and we'll just be patient for him to fully return.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, he's there. Just
mm-hmm.
not bringing out in the way that you're used to. And
yeah.
if I could say one thing that maybe this would be comforting to you is I used to work in a program, a residential program, and I was talking to a one of the psychologists, and I said, and it was a program where people had had really big brain injuries and were recovering, and much more serious than even what Peter went through. And I asked the neuropsychologist, like, what can I say to families that would help them in this kind of moment, because they feel like they don't quite have a contact with their son or their daughter the way they used to. And she said that everything in Peter recognizes you, right down to his cells and his neurobiology. And there are things in his mind and body that fire up and recognize you, mm-hmm. your voice, things around him, food that he eats. So it's all there, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to come out in the way that you're completely familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, but I just want to share with you that his system, his whole biological system knows you and needs to hear your voice. It is it is a great comfort to him. So I just want to offer you, and it's comforting that you're there. It's comforting to me to know that you're there for him. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I came to an appointment yesterday, which was for me, and he said, can I go with you? I said, yeah, you could come with me. And he said, because if I'm not by you, I'll be lost. And I said, that's okay, you can come with me.
See, he knows who you are. And that's, yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, I mean, thank you so much for that sharing.
You're welcome, and have a good, safe weekend, everybody.
Yeah, you too, Barbara.
Barbara. Hugs to the furries.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
All right, take care. All right, we're going to go to Ray Bourne with Fish and Wildlife Service. Hi, Ray. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It's the first couple of days of setting up fishing opportunities weren't as nice weather as we had hoped for, but we did see some people out there. We counted about 80 nets in our overflights, so we're estimating somewhere between 200 and 300 schnooks were harvested over the last opportunity. So the next set net opportunity will be this weekend, the 6th and the 7th, again, 11 a.m. to 11 a.m. People get out there an opportunity for some fresh fish for their table. And then we'll have another set net opportunity on the 9th and 10th. So folks have a couple more opportunities for that. And then starting on the 12th, we'll have some drift net opportunities over the next week and a half or so. And I will have a news release out about that later today. So we'll get some more information out there about fishing opportunities for everybody.
Okay.
So in the BIA side, that contract's been awarded. So we should see some demolition work starting on that site here this summer. The first objective is to take that biggest building down, which is the most difficult to work on. So hopefully we'll get that this summer. But we do ask people to stay away from that area. It's, again, we have a lot of issues, and it'll be construction work or demolish work going on out there, you know, probably starting this summer. So, again, a big project, and many years in the coming, we're finally making some headway on it. So
That's very exciting. Yesterday I was out tundra walking, and there were young people on top of one of those towers. Were those water towers or oil or the big...
The biggest ones were actually supported radar domes as part of the radar system.
They were the base for the radar system. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're young. You know, it just screams for young people. It's like a magnet, okay? It's like
a
teenage radio tower. And they were up there cavorting around, and the sound carries, so I hear them, and I'm more out in the distance, and I kind of look, and I see them kind of bouncing around up there. But so the sooner all that comes down, it's probably good. I'm glad nothing's ever happened to anyone since then, but since they've been abandoned. But
it is a concern on my part. So again, we're making some headway on it. You know, once the demolition starts, they'll actually have folks stationed there to kind of protect that site and keep people away. So
good.
Again, we have people just to be respectful of that, and again, maintain safety for everybody.
Right, because it's kind of, I know you guys in the past have tried to lock that gate, and it just it just can't seem to stay locked, can it?
Yeah.
People
yeah.
just go through it anyway.
Yeah, there's lots of ways around it, unfortunately, but it, I think that demolition will be probably the best thing for everybody to increase the public safety out there. So yeah.
I know, but listen to, you know, listen to me. It's not like I don't walk my bike around that gate or through that gate and just bike on down. So I'm a little bit guilty myself, although I'm not a teenager, but I don't climb up on those things. But I have gone down and looked at the big windmill, but I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Okay. So again, it's just ensuring everybody's safe out there. I think the last thing I'd like to talk about is fire season is here.
Yeah.
We are fortunate that we have 13 fires on the refuge. So, a lot kind of going on. Nothing really big. We do have one fire at the Manikinik River, which is out on the mud volcanoes, very kind of in the tundra area. That's pretty big. It's about a little over 6,000 acres. So there'll be some smoke in the air. You'll probably see some of that. And we just ask people to kind of pay attention to that. And we'll post on our website, you know, a list of all the fires, kind of where they're at currently, and then a link to the maps to the fire. So people, if you want to look at it, you'll have an opportunity to go take a look at that as well. So that's kind of all I have for this morning. Any other questions for me?
I mentioned about the article I read in KYUK News about the connection. Some people talk about the man that they interviewed talked about the connection between the way the wind was and the mosquitoes and the link with that and salmon. Did you read about that?
Yeah, James Nickry is one of the he's one of our in-season managers for the Intertribal Fish Commission. So he's a great resource for traditional knowledge. We listen closely to what he has to say.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. Yeah, I knew that was, I don't know why I forgot his name, but because I know James Nickry. Anyway, that was interesting, and I was glad to, you know, nowadays I think there may be more openness in your field for indigenous knowledge, right?
I think it's
than in the past.
People are beginning to recognize it. I've been in fortunate in my career to work with many different indigenous peoples throughout the world. So I'm probably a little more open than most biologists are just because of my exposure to that.
Right.
So, and you know, the thing is how do I reconcile traditional knowledge I call as traditional science. It's based on observations, just like all the hard sciences are. And it's just, we need to figure out how to match up those observations with Western science. And there's a lot of parallels here. We just need to figure out what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to hear you talk like that because I think there's a certain time maybe, you know, some years ago where you wouldn't even have said a sentence like that, a person in your position. Not you personally maybe, but, you know, a long time ago. There wasn't a desire to try to legitimize both and find the intersections of both. So I think that's pretty cool. So, thank you. I'm glad you're here. And opens all that. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Ray. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So, we have an anonymous caller from Napakiak. Hello, anonymous.
Yes. Good morning. Remember back in 1950s and probably in 60s when they had a TB, whatever they was going on, and they used to collect sputum from the people in the village. I was wondering if they do that, they would have find a lot of people that whoever has a coronavirus, that would be essential to speed up collecting sputum from the people. And whoever has it, but there's a lot of people who have flu or sinus. I was just kind of suggest that if the people would send out clinic for containers in order to collect sputums that used to be used in 1950s and 1960s when I was growing up. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hopefully that will be helpful for the YKC trying to get this epidemic sickness cut down.
Right, right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, he raises a really good point, and it's really good to connect with history like he has, because a lot of people do say that testing is critical, and the more we test, the more easy it will be for us to get a handle on what's going on, and then also to act more quickly than if, I'm sorry, did I just lose my, I'm sorry, something happened in my headphones, I didn't know if I was still on the air. Oh, and now I'm going to turn, I think Grady was going to, Grady and I, we're trying to do this dance together, but he's listening to one song, I'm listening to another, so our dance isn't quite connecting. All right, so anyway, I think we have another caller coming in. I have an email that I'll read real quick. It's an anonymous email, and it goes like this. I remember back in the day when KYUK News would report criminal news. For example, if it was a Native man who committed a serious crime and was drunk, KYUK News would make it a point that he was Native. For example, John Doe, a Native man, was drunk and committed a crime. Those reporters back then, real losers. Oh, okay. And we have Ken from Bethel. Good morning, Ken. Welcome to Talkline.
Well, good morning. Thank you for doing it.
Oh, you're welcome.
First thing I wanted to bring up was I want to say thank you to all the folks out there. They're taking time to wear the mask. Yeah, I know it's inconvenienced at times, but, hey, you're not only thinking of yourself, but you're thinking of the elders and the children and just everybody in general. When you go into a store or into the post office or anywhere you got people together, you don't know the person walking by, whether they're carrying the virus or not. And they don't know if you have it or not, but it's a good way to help at least reduce it. And so I thank one and all for doing so. And I hope you turn around and mention to other people, please wear them, mm-hmm. and thank them for wearing them. It makes a big difference.
Oh, good. I'm glad you called with that. Thank you.
Okay. And then the other little thing is, first of all, raise your hands if this applies to you and my hand is up. Folks, you know, when you get in an airplane, a pilot gets out and walks around and checks and makes sure all the lights are working, all the wheels are properly inflated and blah, blah, blah around the plane. And it's called a pre-flight check. But we don't do that so much with our vehicles. And we should. But I had somebody stop me when I got out of my pickup at the store. And they said, hey, did you notice your taillight was out? No, I didn't. So please take a moment and check your headlights. You can turn them on and your taillights, you can see that there. And if you got somebody that can walk around behind you, step on the brakes or you turn signals, your backup lights, it can make a big difference. And the other thing is, I know it's daylight now, so it's not as big an issue, but we see this all the time. And there's headlights out. And if you had an accident, somebody accidentally walked out in front of you, and it might not have been your fault, but you had a headlight out. Guess who's going to get blamed for it? So for the safety of others and the safety of yourself, please check your headlights and taillights. That's not that expensive or hard to get them changed.
Okay. Good.
So anyway, by the way, thank you for doing it. And one and all, have a nice day. Oh, by the way,
yeah.
I didn't say goodbye anymore. I end the conversation with, wash your hands.
Okay, and mask up. Bye. Okay. It looks like we're going to have one more call before our break. Yeah, that's Buck from Bethel. Good morning, Buck.
Good morning. I listened to... I don't know, maybe Mark Springer and some other guys about the COVID-19 monies that were available. for the city, and it's going to be difficult to spend it if somebody had any ideas to call in. I don't know Mark's number, but I had two ideas. If coronavirus got real bad out here and the you-know-what hit the fan, we could possibly use another city ambulance. And this would be a good way for the city to get a new ambulance, or another ambulance, so that, you know, that could be used as coronavirus money, and then when it's done, we have an ambulance. So that was the first idea. Second idea is, now we got the money to spend on it. You know how people are checked coming in and out of the airport? They're getting temperature or they're getting a test.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not happening on the river. From the villages all the way down to the villages all the way up, people just get in their boat, leave the village, come to Bethel, do whatever they're doing, and get back in their boat and go back to their village. Mm-hmm. So if there was a checkpoint, I don't know, at the boat harbor or in front of Joe Lomac or below Standard Oil or wherever it was, if there was a checkpoint paid for by the city of Bethel, everybody coming by boat pulls in, they get their name and the date, and they get their temperature taken, maybe not a test, just a temperature taken to see if they're symptomatic. That doesn't work with the asymptomatic, but at least it works with the symptomatic ones. And we check their temperatures going to and from Bethel, and it would also help when people do start getting in trouble. They got contact testing. They can say, okay, on this date, at this time, we were in Bethel, and we left at this time. It would help with the contact testing, and it would help control the spread, and it would help spend some of that money that the city was given. And those are my two thoughts for today.
Okay, thank you, Buck. I'm glad. That's good. Really good to think about the larger picture of people coming and going from Bethel, not just from the airport, but from villages and.
It would protect the villages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the guys coming to town, there's nobody knows who's going to go check their net or who's driving all the way to Bethel. It's just another boat leaving, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it would protect Bethel. We'd know who's coming, and we'd know who's leaving, bringing something back to their village, you know? So if there was a temperature check and a name written down on a piece of paper where they're going, that mm-hmm. would help everybody all the way around.
Okay, thank you, Buck. We're going to go to break, but
okay.
All right, everyone, we're going to take one of our three breaks that we take. This will be about 3 minutes, so hang in there. Feel free to go ahead and call, and you can be on hold until the break's over. And now's a good time to go and wash your hands, do a little wipe down, whatever. Okay, see you. I'll hear from you on the other side.
It's dust season in Alaska, and it's a real health hazard, especially for our kids and elders. Dust can cause respiratory problems, coughing, sneezing, chest pain, and more. Dust can trigger accidents and interfere with subsistence activities. We can help keep dust down by slowing down, and remember to cover our loads when we're hauling dirt or gravel. Dust is pollution. Please slow down. This message is brought to you by the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Jaxluk tingawlaqtuq Alaskami. Jaxluk yugunun asinneritoq. Aqchaqquluni mikilngugulun tkhanerununlu. Jaxluk anerniqnaqquq. Quzerneqluni aqsnaqluni qattigeqnaqluniillu. Jaxluk jali pitsuqulaqtitiilartoq nunaakkoortuutnik awiqanaqluniillu nerangnaqsaraami. Jaxluk tamaqtitiigataput. Togam tingaulha ilaangartugnaput чуккайлцагалута паттоорлукииллуун нунаамак тхалкууниклу тунгжугнгалгааник утингхаагамта чаахлук уқлауттунгуқ лаамун анериаақнгамтнун чукаалуни аяагаал тумиагаани чаахлугумак сактинарқоқ чуккайлцагалутун уна канеқ кингууннэнқэртоқ хаакан Department of Environmental Conservation. Staying safe this summer means staying home, social distancing when you have to go out, and following all CDC guidelines. Contact your local Indian health care provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
If you're an older adult or have a serious chronic medical condition, make sure to put distance between yourself and others to help reduce your risk of being exposed to COVID-19. Stay home as much as possible. Have enough household items and groceries on hand. Monitor your health and stay in touch with your doctor. And here's some advice for everyone. Check in on your friends and neighbors. We're all in this together. Learn more about how to prevent the spread of COVID-19 at coronavirus.alaska.gov.
YK Fitness Center, Akikinkauk, 5:30 a.m. Amak, 9 p.m. Amun, Pukit Mukdashi Meritmun, Jalisu 2 p.m. Amak, 9 p.m. Amun, Nidilit Ekoitni. Damakmang David Bilrit, Ikayu Jugnaut, now Sutum Sachten Ritzlachganun, Mamterichermi, now Sunrita, Kamang, Kingan, Ilautak Suting, Maskamakatuchluten, Unatsten, Shukulwuluki, Jali Shu, Prirak Shuki, Adusten, Unakingunach to YK Fitness Center Am.
Hi, everyone, welcome back. This is Talk Line, and I'm Diane McGachran. And welcome, and I'm sure you've got your hands cleaned and some things wiped down and ready to continue with our show. I'm going to give out the numbers again real quick. 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 1-800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. For both your calls and your emails, you can be anonymous. I'll read your email over the air, and I won't use your name if you do not want that. I do have one very short and quick email, and the email is, it's a question. Did City Council hear what Reverend Sharpton said? Okay. So that's a general question. I think Reverend Sharpton spoke recently at Mr. George Floyd's funeral, so perhaps there was commentary then. Yeah, he has a show every Sunday, I believe, so not sure. All right. I have a couple of Tundra Drum announcements. The city of Bethel will have cleanup greenup this Saturday, tomorrow, at all Bethel parks at 1 o'clock. From yellow collection bags can be picked up at Public Works, the fire station, or the port office. For more information, call the City of Bethel Public Works at 543-3110. All right, we're going to go to Kathy from Bethel. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Let me just add a little bit of more information to the park cleanup.
Oh, good.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There will be Parks and Rec Committee members at Pinkies, at Tundra Ridge Park, at the park by the Lions Club, and at Lomac, and we will have bags there. So if you want to pick up at any of those places, if you don't already have your bags, you can get them there. And we will also have the tickets for the raffle, the drawing, to hand out to people when they finish their, when they fill their bags. That drawing for prizes, including five bicycles.
Wow.
And then some other things that are some electronic things. I don't even know what they are, but so I couldn't remember the name of them. Nintendo.
Yay! I won something electronic. Yay! But oh, like kids' game, like electronics.
I think so.
Toward kids
I think that,
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something like that. I mean, that's what it kind of sounded like. But anyway, that drawing from the tickets will be Tuesday night at the city council meeting. I think there will also be 10 pool passes drawn from the tickets. So
wow.
There you go.
There's a lot of good prizes.
Really, there are. All donated prizes donated by the community, businesses.
And I'm sure you've noticed this too, but it makes a huge difference when people do this cleanup. I notice it immediately. So thank you for what efforts you've put in on it, and for everybody who does go out and do some clean up makes a big difference. It does not go unnoticed. So thank you.
And it makes you feel better about your community.
Well, that's the other part too. Yeah.
When it's not all trash. And I would like to say it's already cleaner than it was a year ago when the liquor store was open. Just want to say.
Oh, not as many bottles to pick up.
Well,
and
last year, Bev and I and Haley Hansen picked up on the Lomac Beach one day in June, and we picked up, we counted, I believe it was 66 bottles. 66.
Oh, my.
Bottles.
Oh,
in
my goodness.
One pickup. So I'm going to be down there tomorrow, and I'm going to be counting. And my guess is I won't even get to 30. I'll let you know. I'm keeping track.
Well, there's a little scientific research going on right there.
There it is. So tomorrow from 1 to 2 at all the parks, and the four I mentioned, we will have back Lomac, Lions Club, Tundra Ridge, and Pinkies. There will be somebody there with bags and tickets.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye.
And we have an anonymous caller from Nepakiak. Hello, anonymous. Welcome to the show.
Yes. This is Ralph Nelson from Nepakiak.
Ron Nelson?
Ralph.
R-A-L-P.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm calling about my son's net that was stolen a couple of days ago from Johnson River.
Oh, no.
A set net. And it's got a initial SFN on it written down, and that net was being knifed up and on the land where it was staked, and the whole net was, I guess, just missing, not missing, but stolen. We looked for it downriver, and
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It would have just stopped from the anchor rope on the lead line.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like, if somebody knows about this net or other villages, please return the net to Nepakiak or where it was set. It was set in inside of Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So that net is the only net my son has for drifting, too. So he looked for it, but he never found it. But also, not only my son's net, other people's set nets were also being knifed up and vandalized, and that's not good.
Oh, my. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's been happening since last year. People's nets were being checked up, and my son, he went to go check his net last year, and soon as he was coming out of our river to check it, a boat just took off and going towards up Tundra villages. So
okay,
that's not good. You know, we're trying to meet our ends in need.
Yep. Okay, thank you, Mr. Nelson.
We'd like to get our net back. If somebody knows about it, please return it. Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, thank you for calling him. Okay, so if you come across a net, I'm not sure. I missed the initials that would be on the net. He said there were initials on it to return it, maybe SF, but to return it to Johnson River and leave it on the bank or return it to Napakiak. Okay. We have an anonymous. Oh, no, we don't. I'm sorry. I don't know the exact cost of a net. I know that they're very expensive. So it's a great loss for people when their nets are vandalized or outright stolen. So I have an anonymous email that I'm going to read because that's not there. Okay. So, and the email goes like this. Good morning. I am concerned about Philly's Pizza selling alcohol like a liquor store. As we know, we voted in to have local option here in Bethel last fall and would like to keep it that way. With state mandates being loosened a bit, the city of Bethel needs to stop Philly's from selling like a liquor store since they can offer dine-in and serve alcohol. Drive by during the evening and late at night, you will see people waiting outside to purchase alcohol, and we voted in favor of dine-in alcohol sales, not package sales. Okay. So that's a good question because I think there was an exception made during when there were lots of closures of restaurants. And those restaurants that sold alcohol, they had an exemption where they were allowed to sell it outside of the restaurant. However, that has been lifted. Restaurants are now open, but Philly's is continuing, I think, to sell the alcohol where you could take, you know, go buy it and take it home. So I'm not sure if there's a glitch there, but that'd be interesting to look into. So we have from Bethel, Elise. Good morning, Elise.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Elise McCabe.
Hello.
Hi. I am calling because I am actually going to be putting together a Black Lives Matter peaceful protest today at 6:15 at the Cultural Center, and I was just hoping to use your platform as a way to spread the word.
Yeah, you should. And now I know there was a march earlier in the week, so do you want to say a little more about some of your goals for today, this evening's gathering?
Yeah, so I actually have a few speakers that are going to be speaking at the event, and we are going to be touching on some touchy subjects, such as police brutality and people, you know, just like injustices that are being done, such as rape and whatnot. So it is going to be a little bit sensitive topics. So consider this a trigger warning. And then after that, we are going to do a small march again. And I hope to see a good outcome, and I hope people come out and show their support because this isn't only for Black lives, but for Indigenous lives alike and people who are constantly being silenced. And this is your voice, and this is your platform. And I also want to invite people to speak if they would like to speak. They can reach out to me. My name is Elise McCabe. I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Instagram.
Well, could they message you on Facebook through Messenger, even if you're not a Facebook friend?
I actually don't have Facebook.
Elise, it's 2020. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Some people, they do go for Instagram instead, and yeah, people have their different platforms. Okay. So they can find you.
I don't have Facebook. However, if they, she might hate me for this, but if you would like to reach out to CC Franco, she can get a hold of me. I'm sorry I don't have a Facebook. I will be creating one soon.
No, Elise.
You can reach out to me better. I know that that's an easier platform to
Elise, you're gonna lose years of your life if you get a Facebook account. So, so be very careful when you do that. Caution. No, okay, so yeah, if somebody would like to... Now, so it's not going to be open mic. You'd prefer to have knowledge ahead of time of who's speaking. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not open mic at the moment. I do have speakers lined up, and they are sending in what they're going to say to me just because I want to keep the focus on the movement.
Yes.
So I am reviewing what people are going to say. But at the end, once the speakers that I approved of speak, if anyone else would like to, I am going to have open mic, because this is a platform for people to speak up. And if they feel like their voice needs to be heard, I want to support that.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you for providing some more explanation. I also have an email that I'll be reading with some more details as well. So thank you, Elise. And
thank you.
Have a good afternoon.
You too. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so if you would like to speak at this evening's rally, the organizers would like you to, you know, let them know ahead of time, because I think they're trying to keep things coordinated. So if you'd like to do that, I'm going to give you a phone number that you can call. This is CC. You can call or text her at 545-0954, and then she'll get you connected in terms of being able to speak tonight and what steps they'd like you to take if you'd like to speak. They have a couple of steps to do ahead of time, but not too late for that. So 545-0954 if you would like to speak at tonight's gathering. Okay. Martha from Bethel. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am a native elder. I've been living here in Bethel for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And my life is a subsistence way of life. My husband, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you know the official game or the powers that be would give us elders freedom to fish anytime we want, because that's our way of life, and we can't afford, a lot of us can't afford the prices in the stores, and a lot of us this age don't know how to order on Amazon or just things like that.
Oh, good point.
I just don't know what to do sometimes, because it's our livelihood to fish, and when we get to be this age, I wish, you know, we were given freedom to do that, just like those Indians down south, North 48. I'm just voicing my concern, and I wish somebody would stand up and help us go through all these laws that are put upon us in our land here. And another thing I wanted to say was about those two marijuana stores.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana is as addictive as the alcohol. Why are they being allowed to be open here in our area?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to say. I have lots to say and complain about, but thank you for hearing us, letting me voice my, and if somebody would please help us elders to start protesting.
Well, Martha, I'm really glad that you called, and I hope you'll call again, and I hear you on that. There's a natural way of living that gets disrupted by rules and regulations, and it sounds like you really understand that natural, connected way of taking care of your subsistence needs.
Yeah.
And I really respect that.
Thank you very much.
So please call again. we need to hear from you. All right. Thank you. Okay, we have Willie from Quinnahawk. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning. How are you folks?
Very good. How are you?
Oh, just lovely. Chilly. Wondering where the warm weather went while we're trying to get starter plants going.
I know. I hear you. It's chilly today, too, here in Bethel.
But anyway, I was listening to Buck this morning looking for suggestions on how to spend some of that city COVID money. They managed to spend $4.5 million and looking for more ways. Well, here's what Quinnahawk did. They went ahead and put their federal COVID money, part of it, as a $1,200 payment to AVAC for every household down here. And that's going to be a plus.
Wow.
I mean, a huge plus for everybody. Everybody benefits from it. And I've been on Talkline before, and I've said what the city of Bethel needs to do is to take pile that money and apply it to every residential household for water and sewer bills. That way the city pays the water sewer bills in advance and still has the money. They don't have to give it to anybody except themselves, but they provide a service that allows every household to duck and dodge a horrendous bill every month, because we all know water and sewer is not cheap in Bethel.
Right.
And with another portion of that money, where when I sat through a budget and we had, holy cow, we had big fights over it, and it was over dust control. And when you start talking super sacks, you know, 5,000-pound bags of calcium chloride that they spread on the roads to alleviate the dust, which it does a great job, you know, it wears out. It's just a rock salt or a chemical salt that kills the dust. It always has to compete. That calcium chloride has to compete with everything else in the budget. And I'm going, well, here's a gift that helps everybody in the community, because it won't be long, you know, we're not going to be cold, we're not going to be wet and rainy, we're going to be hot, dry, and dusty, and everybody in Bethel is going to be going, where's the calcium chloride? Why are the roads dusty? Well, here's an opportunity for the city to jump right in there and say, whoa, thank you, Uncle Sam, we're ordering a bunch of 20-foot flats with nothing but super sacks of calcium on it, because it's expensive to ship. It's heavy stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's bulky. But here's a plus. Here's a way that you can benefit everybody in the community equally, and it's a huge plus. The water sewer, I was in there in town here and doing paperwork and ended up putting bank account together and talking to a banker, and I'm going, wouldn't it make sense if the city could keep the money instead of have to give it to somebody? You're going, yes, that would be a huge plus. So there's my suggestions, Buck. Have at her, you know. Other than that, that's about what I got. Just handing suggestions over.
Okay.
And the report is slow down here. My friend's been out there since 7 this morning. I just talked to him a half hour ago. One chum. That was it. So you guys are ahead of us with Kings.
Really?
Your smelt get there before our smelt. Our smelt are just barely hitting the river because they don't have a fraction as far to swim up the river. So our fish come in later than yours do. But slow fishing, other than the boys are catching halibut and lots of cod out there right now.
Okay, good. All right, well, thank you for your call.
Yep, good morning.
All right, good morning. We're going to go ahead and take our break now because we have a couple of callers lined up and we want to give them plenty of time to talk and not interfere with what they need to say. So now's that special time for hand washing and for doing any wipe down or taking a quick break. You're listening to Talkline on 640 AM.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Staying safe this summer means staying home, social distancing when you have to go out, and following all CDC guidelines. Contact your local Indian health care provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
It's dust season in Alaska, and it's a real health hazard, especially for our kids and elders. Dust can cause respiratory problems, coughing, sneezing, chest pain, and more. Dust can trigger accidents and interfere with subsistence activities. We can help keep dust down by slowing down, and remember to cover our loads when we're hauling dirt or gravel. Dust is pollution. Please slow down. This message is brought to you by the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We have some callers lined up, and we're going to get right to it. So, Mary from Bethel, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I do want to say that with the COVID-19 pandemic issue, I see so many people wherever I go, and these are grown-ups, and these are so-called professional people, healthcare providers, who pick on their noses, pick on their mouths, and don't wash their hands. And that's not right. And I live at Lulu Heron, and I have a good view, and there's people just past Myers Hotel. There's a road there. There's people, bunch of people that always like run to the side of the road and poop and pee, and they leave and go back. And when it's dusty, it blows, and that's one good way of contributing to the pandemic. And I just keep pushing for educators to do education and assisted living homes to continually do health education, environmental education in every way. And then, like, there are children, there are a lot of people that I know coming from Anchorage who are supposed to be quarantined for 14 days. A lot of people don't get quarantined. And also a lot of people medical problems that can be passed on to other people are not careful. People spit on the ground, they puke on the ground, and me, like, I've always had one of my worst medical conditions that I was born with is my respiratory system. And what I never like, especially when it's dry and dusty, the bus stops are like right next to where the trash is or where people poop and pee in the honey buckets right there. And again, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that no bus stop should be near such places.
Yeah.
And that's what we all need to do. And we do not need, planned educational services only where people are doing the so-called educating only when they can get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that to educate others, we do not need money. We can take every opportunity to educate people,
mm-hmm.
and do it in a nice way, do it in a non-judgmental way. Because like when I see kids fighting or yelling and screaming at their parents, somebody like a child pulling another person's hair or scratching them, and their parents are just sitting there doing nothing except for hanging on to their stupid cell phones. So I'd go to that child and say, hey, look, when somebody scratches you, hurts you like that, do you like it? And that child would say, no. And I'd say, what makes you think that he or she likes what you do? And that gets the children thinking. And anything and everything we learn as a child,
okay.
stays with us the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
So it's best to educate even when children are very strong. Because with me, everything I've seen and heard as a baby, they're still with me today.
Right, okay, yeah.
They are. And then another thing is to always compliment the hardworking people. Because when somebody compliments us or tells us that they appreciate what we're trying to do, that gives us an incentive to do more. It does.
That's very nice, yeah.
So.
Okay.
So, thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Mary. You brought up some really good, important points. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, there is something about that. Sometimes the bus stops are next to or near dumpsters, which is kind of interesting. So, anyway, okay, we're going to go to our next caller, Renee from Bethel. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. I have a couple of updates on the dumpsters that the Kuskokwim Guild is supporting with the city of Bethel.
Yeah, you know, I hate to associate you with dumpsters, but I kind of do now. Renee,
and
the dumpster queen.
Same,
yes.
And the same as my my sister-in-law, Janet, who started the whole thing when she was working at the teen center.
Oh, my gosh. 4-H. Okay.
She's
awesome.
The one that got the whole ball rolling, and then when she left, we kind of picked it up.
Okay.
So anyway, they did not come in. The brand new, spanking, beautiful new dumpsters.
I looked for them. I thought they were coming in on the 1st.
Well, they didn't. So we're hoping that they're going to be, the city's hoping that they're going to be on the after July 1st barge.
Oh.
So when they get here, they'll be available for painting. Margaret Hanna is in charge of this project. And for those who need to call, you want to call her and reserve a dumpster, her number is 545-2911. And there's only 18 of them, so maybe a group of four or a family or a business. But you want to call her. We're looking for paint donations. Now, the only paint we're going to use will be water-based. I don't want any oil-based paints because it's just too much for cleaning up. So I'm looking for folks who have a little bit of leftover house paint. It can be interior, exterior, water-based paints. Give me a call. I'll come pick it up. My number is 545-4468, and I'll be happy to do that. So if anyone has any questions, they can call me as well. And then the last thing I want to mention is that I only have 8 salmon left for the Steel Salmon and Raven auction. All the ravens are gone. For this year, they seem to be very popular. But if you're interested in doing some artwork on a raven and you have a good idea, just give me a call. I have them over here at my house. It's my number again is 545-4468. We're our tentative date, depending on how things go in the state and all of the get together and how to figure that out, is still October 3rd. So that's kind of what we're still shooting for. So that'll be turn-in date will be the end of September for all of the steel salmon and ravens. So we'll keep everybody posted.
Now, just to clarify, Renee, interior paint can also work on exterior dumpsters?
I think that most of the paint that is house paint does not wash off. It's tempera paint. Tempera paint would wash off, but acrylic house paint or latex should not wash off.
Okay, gotcha.
So anybody who's got a little extra and they want to get rid of it and use it up instead of throwing it away, give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's 545-4468, and I'll come pick it up.
Okay, so like a family, this would be a great family project.
It'd
for
be
a great family to take on, or maybe a group of people that want to send out a positive message about Bethel and they want to decorate a dumpster with that message. That's really nice. I think this is kind of fun to see what kind of groups will take on a dumpster and what we'll see in the fall when they're all done.
Right. Yeah. And then the city will place them where new dumpsters are needed throughout the city. So
cool.
We don't know where they're going to go, so they'll be kind of a surprise. You'll have to go around and canvas the town and see if you can find the one you did.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Renee. Great information.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to go to Dave from Bethel. Thanks for waiting, Dave.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great day to be alive.
Yes, every day.
I'm calling. I'm seeking some volunteer help to assist my family and I and the board of directors for the ATG Memorial Park. I'm growing some flowers from seed, and I could use some volunteer help to help prep some places at the park so we can plant flowers. The flowers will be ready for planting by midweek or a little later. And if someone would like to volunteer to assist in planting flowers and doing some prep work, taking the grass and the weeds and everything out, prepping the soil, they can give me a call. My number is 543-2772. I'm listed in the phone book. If there is someone willing to volunteer for this most honorable cause to honor 1,435 men from the Yukon and Kuskokwim Delta that served their country during World War II. That's what the park is all about, to honor and remember those 1,435 men from this area, the Yukon-Kuskokwim area, that served their country during wartime. If anybody could volunteer to help a little bit, would be gratefully appreciated. And that's what I have. And I thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
This could also be part of the city's cleanup project.
Sure.
If they wish to tie it with this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. All right. Okay, so if you would like to help plant the flowers in the boxes that represent different communities at the Veterans, at the ATT Memorial Park, you can call Dave Trantham at 543-2772. Okay, we're going to go to Yvonne from Bethel. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Dave, for putting positive affirmations in our life.
Yeah.
But I feel angry, and I'm going to make it negatively, but I feel angry and mad. Maybe sad. Yeah, I feel sad, too. For being on fishing restrictions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Anchorage people are having rod and reeling, having king salmon derbies, and they're commercial fishing for kings. Me and my people on the Kuskokwim and Yukon, we got our hands tied. And I only got one that I finally got one yesterday, a jack, during the 24-hour period. Me and my family ate half, and I gave the rest that other half away.
Hmm.
It was only 2 feet. So what they let us use 6-inch. And we catch them jacks. And why I feel sad, there's unemployed people out there, and they highly depend on the river. We know the salmon are out there, the king salmon. And I know that school lunch program, I don't know if it's on anymore, but would they have more mouths to feed at home?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it's not right to have these restrictions. On the first hand, the Kuskokwim Management Working Group, state, and the Federal Tribal Fish Commission, they never asked me for my opinion or my first people. The first people, I never received no what we wanted. The group of people make the tough decisions on us. And that's not right. Where's our native lawyers anyway?
Hmm.
I say, I believe it's time to hire a United Nations lawyer and set the freedom on our people to fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean have at it. These conservation measures are good, like 50 fathoms below Johnson and half cycle up here. That's good. But, gee whiz. Man, I want to say enough is enough. We need to make a stand here. And all of the negatives are there. But anyway, you know, I think Mr. James Nick Ryan, our native ways of knowing, he's right. When I had my king net out before this clothes I cut, they were big ones. He's 100% right on predictions there. And I feel elders should be more on the radio and giving us directions anyway. But if that's the case, why don't they give us a grace period on these restrictions and let us set our king nets sitting it. And there's always enough out there. People come to my land and water say there's no kings out there. I never hear an elder yet tell me that. But anyway, and I thank Willie down Queen of Hook for giving us a fishing report. Just like James said, Mr. Nicolai, he said our Chinooks are going to be late. I believe that too.
Mm-hmm.
And in closing, I thank KYUK for giving us, letting us have our opinion. And I thank you for being there alone. Good job. And what can I say? Coronavirus is still around, so wear your face mask and take some precautions. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Yvonne. I think it's important to hear a whole range of what people go through, and so I'm really appreciative hearing from Yvonne. Noah from Tuluksak,
yes.
Welcome to the show.
Yes, I do. Yes, good morning, Diane.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Awesome.
Yes, I agree with the first caller. I've been having situation with it when they lay out the open enclosure on fishing. When I was young, there were plenty of fish out there, one drift. And when there are not enough, three drifts to load up the boat. I think the people that are controlling it is watching it, monitoring the fish. How? They put something in the fish mm-hmm. so they can detect it by satellite, the movement of the fish. When there are plenty, they let them pass. And when they get few, they open it. I do agree. When we first, they put 4-inch to use, 30 feet, 60 feet, whatever they lay out, we did it. And I was catching small kings, and I was wondering, why am I catching a little king that goes in and that has to go out to the ocean and grow?
Mm-hmm.
I know by scent, the fish knows where it was born, and they come and lay eggs so they can more plenty of fish. When they regulate us, we follow the regulations what they lay out. And I even suggested on a meeting, why are we using 4 inches? Why not 8 inches? I do agree. 60 feet isn't enough. 50 fathoms should be appropriate for my livelihood.
Okay.
And on top of it, the flies lay eggs in July more, making us work more. In June, there's less. And why are we putting our name and our phone number on the buoy? I've never seen that concept when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's different. And why can't they do anything about Northwest fisheries?
Mm-hmm.
Fishing game, fishing or wildlife can't do it. Even the working group can't do it unless they join to the board, and they'll see what's going on, what issues, whatever they deal with. Out here, we deal with situation. We try to put it on table. Sometimes it's stuffed away. We got to stand. We 56 villages should understand that we can partner up with United Nations in the United Nations with resolutions. That's all I can say, and probably can resolve this issue that we're having within Kuskokwim and Yukon. Bristol Bay area, southeast area, it's different. I've been there. Southeast area is Union. That's I've fished with Union before with a teacher, and he was a good man. Gave me a good lump sum of money for just being part of him getting help. But wow, that was unique. Best experience I ever had in my life, seeing the southeast area. I've traveled that area.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty much. Thank you very much for having me on the air.
Thank you
Have
for calling.
Nice day.
Yeah, thank you so much, Noah, for calling. I'm going to read a quick note, and then we're going to go to our last couple callers. Oh, this is a someone called about this earlier, but this is a different note. There will be a peaceful demonstration today at 6:15 outside the Cultural Center. This demonstration is in solidarity with demonstrations around the world that support Black and all people of color. We encourage all who recognize the rampant racial injustices people of color face globally to come and participate. The event will feature speakers who will not be asked to censor their speeches whatsoever. Much of the subject matter may be disturbing and or triggering. Despite heavy subjects and very likely charged language, we encourage all to come and hear what our community family members have to say. Once the speeches commence, a walk will follow thereafter. Black Lives Matter. Okay, thank you. We're going to go to Russ from Chelista. Russ, we don't have a whole lot of time, but we do want to hear from you, so go ahead.
All right, great. Thanks, Dan. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Awesome. I just wanted to give a call and let all of our Chelista Corporation shareholders know that today is our first deadline for proxy prizes, and it's a big one. So basically, in order to be in the drawing for the proxy prizes, the top proxy prize this side of it is $10,000. And second prize is $2,500, and then there will be six prizes of $1,000 each.
Okay.
Just for this first drawing.
Okay.
And in order to do that, shareholders have to vote online at chelistavote.com and have that submitted by 5 p.m. today. That's Alaska Daylight Time, June 5th. So that's part of the online early bird deadline. And if shareholders have not received their proxy PIN in the mail or by email.
And by PIN, you mean the identification number that they would put in at the website?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, we'll back up a little bit. When you go to chelistavote.com, you have to enter the PIN that's provided and also the last four of your Social Security.
Okay.
And there's a proxy form that was sent in the mail, and that was sent separately from the packet sent to shareholder households. So each shareholder has their individually sent proxy form with the PIN on that form. And then with that PIN, you can go on to chelistavote.com, and everyone pretty much knows their Social Security. So they put that information in so they can get online and vote from there. It takes, if you already know who you want to vote for or you have a general idea, it doesn't take very long. There's not very many steps once you get in.
Okay, so
and
we just have another caller. So just, I'm sorry to have to rush you toward the end of the show like this, but
right.
Go ahead if there's some more you need to say.
But if you don't have it, so if you lose or forget what your PIN is, you haven't received it, the main thing is to call the Inspector of Elections, Ceramic Hightower, and that number is 907-677-3320.
Okay.
And here's the toll-free number. It's 833-301-5518. 1-6. And I just wanted to, in closing, I just want to refer everyone to just, if you need to find the information, just go to chalistacorp.com, and we have a link at the top of our website for annual meeting information, and they can find the information about voting and about the proxy prizes on that.
Yes, and I think there was a show yesterday that explained that, and I think in a week you have another show. So thank you so much, Russ. I hope everybody got that information. We're going to go to... Yeah, we're going to have to go right to Stephanie. Sorry, Stephanie, we only have a couple of minutes, so go ahead. And you need to turn down your radio. Turn off your radio. Yeah. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there. I was just calling to make a request to the, my fellow Bethel citizens to please, please stop putting oversized items in dumpsters. I just drove through Thunder Ridge and watched the garbage truck dumping a gigantic couch out from the dumpster into the garbage truck. And, you know, their main dump garbage truck is already down for repairs. What are we going to do if this backup one gets damaged also due to these oversized items? So, you know, there's numbers to call for pickup. And, you know, there's other options. You know, reach out to your neighbor for help for a ride to the dump. But it's just, I don't understand why people are still doing this and risking, you know, stopping all of our garbage service.
Yeah, you know, if you can get your couch to the dump, you can dumpster, you can get it to the dump.
I agree.
Yeah, there's been some really creative things left at the dumpsters, that's for sure.
There have been some fun ones. But, you know, if you really can't and you're thinking about putting your oversized item into the dumpster, just leave it next to the dumpster so that it doesn't...
No. Oh, Stephanie. Dump. Oh, Stephanie, no. Take it to the dump. Don't even leave it next to it. But I hear you.
The lesser of the two evils.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, they've put a notice on all the dumpsters with a call number that people can call if you have a large item.
Yeah.
So those are new notices.
Call a number, call a friend, call a neighbor. You know, there are people willing to help in order to try to keep our services running.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay. So we only have a few seconds left of the show. Thank you, everyone, for calling. I really hear a lot of authentic and genuine expression of different ideas and feelings about what's going on in your lives. So really appreciate that. Quick little tundra flower report. Right now, the tundra tea is blooming all over the place. I recommend if you come across the little flower, they're so tiny, the flowers. There's blueberry blossoms opening. There's low bush cranberry buds that are coming out. Go on down and look really closely because they're so intricate and really pretty if you get down on the ground and really look them over. So anyway, have a great weekend, and we will hear from you and from me next Friday on Talkline. It's not what you look like when you're doing what you're doing.